Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back. It's Coach Adam here, and you're listening to Living Your Best Life. This is the podcast that you can listen to for fitness advice, nutritional guidance, and hopefully motivational support. I'm actually really excited to share with you today's episode because it's become a very popular talking point. There's probably a lot of confusion around it, so I wanted to share my thoughts on it as well, kind of just give my two cents on it as I guess, you know, throw my name in the mix. We've all heard of gluten-free diets and how they can help us in weight loss. And a lot of that naturally happens because we get rid of certain foods that actually just help remove calories from our diet. So weight loss is a natural byproduct of it. But a lot of us haven't really heard about the, I guess we'd say, negative health effects of gluten in our diet. So that's what I wanted to shed a little light on today. What gluten is, what foods it's found in, how we can avoid it, and how it does affect our health. All right, so let's get to it. All right, so I bet we're all wondering, what exactly is gluten? You've heard of it, you've seen it, you know what it is in food, I guess, but we don't know exactly what it is. So gluten is a family of proteins that are found in wheat, barley, rye, and spelt. Spelt is actually a species of wheat that has been cultivated since 5000 BC, so it's probably one of the oldest known sources of gluten and wheat. It was used to basically feed civilization at that point. It comes from the Latin word for glue. Glue. So probably not what we should be putting into our bodies, right? That's actually what gives flour that sticky consistency when you mix it with water. So as soon as you mix water and gluten, you get that doughy mixture that gives basically bread that texture, right? It helps bread rise. It gives it that chewy texture. I'm pretty sure we've all done it. I know I have. You get a roll of bread, it's nice and warm, you crack it open, and you reach inside for the white bread, right? The meaty part of it. It's all chewy and warm and delicious. It's actually not good for us. And the reason being is, one, celiac disease. If you haven't heard of it, it's probably because it only affects about 1% of the population. If you don't know anyone with celiac disease, it's an autoimmune disease in which the body mistakes gluten as a foreign threat. So our body's even telling us that it's a threat, right? And it reacts and attacks the gluten proteins. The problem with that is that because it's in our stomach and our intestines, it's gonna damage the surrounding areas as well. So the gut wall, your stomach lining, and things like that. And that can actually cause nutrient deficiencies and digestive issues. Right, so if our stomach wall and digestive lining is damaged, then it's not going to function properly. We're not going to absorb nutrients from food as well, so we have those deficiencies. And then people with celiac disease experience a lot more symptoms. They'll experience sharp stomach pain. They'll experience diarrhea and constipation. And this is after consuming products with gluten. They'll also have skin rashes, which isn't as common, but definitely does happen. Stomach discomfort, bloating, they'll actually experience weight loss from that nutrient deficiencies and the digestive issues. And then they'll also experience tiredness and depression. So it's not always digestive and physical issues. They also have mental issues with that. And the other thing that people may experience is non-celiac gluten sensitivity. Now this is a little more common. It's believed to affect about 1-13% of the population. Now this can't be tested for. Okay, so you can't take a test for gluten sensitivity. You can take it for celiac disease. You can do a blood test or a intestine biopsy as well. That'll give you the results of celiac disease. But for a gluten sensitivity, there's no test for it, but it can cause similar discomfort, stomach pain, bloating, eczema, rash, so that skin condition, and then also changes in your bowel motion. So it may not be as severe, but you still may experience some symptoms. So gluten sensitivity can also be a sign that maybe it's time to start removing or minimizing the amount of gluten in your diet. And in order to do that, there are certain foods we do have to avoid, right? And completely avoiding gluten is going to be a challenge, especially in our modern diet, because it's found in many common ingredients that are added to foods. Okay, so the main sources of gluten in our diets are wheat-based foods, so wheat bran, wheat flour, spelt, what I mentioned earlier, barley, rye, malt, and brewer's yeast. Brewer's yeast, you can kind of get an idea where we're going with that one. And there are also foods that have ingredients containing gluten that are added to them. All right, so all your wheat-based pastas and breads, gluten. All your cereals, unless otherwise specified, gluten. Your baked goods, such as cookies, muffins, cakes, pastries, pizza. Man, you know, I wrote this earlier and I still forgot pizza's on there. All right, well, it is what it is. Sometimes you have to give up what you like to get to where you want, right? Snack foods as well, so candy, crackers, chips, popcorn, pretzels, things like that, they all have gluten in them. And then believe it or not, some sauces actually have gluten added to them, and this is what gives some of it its texture, some of it its thickness. Soy sauce, teriyaki sauce, a lot of marinades and salad dressings have gluten as well. And then when it comes to beverages, you heard me earlier, I said brewer's yeast, so beer is gonna have gluten, and then a lot of flavored alcoholic beverages are gonna have gluten. So your best bet is non-flavored straight liquor, it seems. But honestly, the best way to avoid gluten, you guys, is just eat unprocessed single ingredient foods. So your best practice, stick to whole foods, right, that haven't been broken down into something else. So the closer you are to its natural form, the better chance you have of not consuming gluten. Okay, so if you're wondering, okay, you just listed a bunch of foods that I can't eat, what can I eat? Honestly, it's not that hard. It's very, very simple. Okay, there's plenty of gluten-free options that allow to have healthy, delicious, fun meals. So if you haven't heard of any of these, it's okay. First, meats and fish, they're gluten-free. Eggs, gluten-free. Fruits and vegetables, gluten-free, you guys. This is crazy, right? Starches and flours, potatoes, gluten-free. They grow in the ground. You can't add anything to them, so they're gluten-free. All right, and if you're going to use flour, potato flour, soy flour, and almond flour are good options for you. Nuts and seeds, again, gluten-free. Good snacking options, right? And then if you need to cook, use oils like avocado oil, olive oil, and coconut oil. All gluten-free. All right, and earlier we mentioned marinades and the sauce and stuff like that. So if you need to flavor your food and you don't want to use those items because of the gluten, herbs and spices are going to be your best bet. Okay, and then if you're looking for something to drink, water is going to be your best option. obviously, no gluten, but again, you're not drinking something that has added ingredients or other quote-unquote natural flavors, right? So you don't want any sugar, you don't want anything added to it. Water is going to be your best option, or tea. All right, and if you're ever unsure of a food that you have that may or may not be gluten-free, just read the label. The label will tell you. And if it doesn't have a label, then you're probably okay. All right, most whole foods don't have a label. All right, you don't grab an apple and it doesn't have a nutrition facts label. So you're probably in the clear if it doesn't have a label, okay? Now, when you get into a gluten-free diet, you're gonna notice several health benefits. There's four that I'm gonna talk about. The first one, you're gonna relieve your digestive symptoms. All right, so if you struggle with bloating, diarrhea, constipation, any gas, fatigue, anything like that, you're gonna notice a reduction of those symptoms. All right, there is one study of 215 people with celiac disease, and they followed a gluten-free diet for 6 months, which resulted in a reduction in stomach pain and the frequency of diarrhea and nausea. Okay, so there is significant health benefits. Second one, you can reduce chronic inflammation. We all know that inflammation is a natural process that our body does to actually help treat and heal infection. All right, so take a sprained ankle, for example. It swells up and it gets inflamed. And what that does is it restricts any of that damaged tissue or blood from leaving that area so that the body can treat and heal that part of it. All right, and then sometimes that can last weeks, sometimes months, sometimes it lasts years. And when we get to those points where we know that the inflammation should have gone down already, that's known as chronic inflammation. And that can lead to many, many different health problems. And a lot of the times, the problem with chronic inflammation is that it's obviously not a sprained ankle that stays inflamed for that long. Chronic inflammation tends to happen inside and we don't see it. So we need to address it by reducing the amount of gluten in our diets. All right. There are several studies that have shown that a gluten-free diet will reduce the markers of inflammation and also help reverse that gut damage that was caused by that inflammation. Okay. Third one, you're going to boost your energy levels. There was studies of 1,031 people that had celiac disease. 66% of them complained of fatigue. After following a gluten-free diet, only 22% still experienced that. So more than half reduced fatigue throughout their life by reducing gluten. A lot of it happens because they feel tired, they feel sluggish, they can experience brain fog, and that comes from nutrient deficiencies, right? Because of damage to the gut. So when they're not absorbing the nutrients, a lot of the fatigue and the lack of energy can come from not absorbing the food that they've eaten properly. All right, and then the last one, it's gonna help you lose weight. Okay, I mentioned it earlier, right? When you follow a gluten-free diet, you're most likely gonna eliminate a lot of junk food. So you'll naturally eliminate excess calories. So you'll naturally eliminate some of that weight. Okay, it's still important though to avoid processed foods that are labeled as gluten-free, because then you're still gonna be adding those calories. So again, your best bet, stick to whole foods, fruits, vegetables, lean proteins. If it grows on the ground, if it flies in the air, if it swims in the sea, it's safe to eat. All right, that's simple rule of thumb there. I like to follow it. If you want to follow it, go for it. If you want to tweak it a little bit, go ahead. Just don't eat anything out of a factory. That's basically the bottom line on this, right? And then there are going to be a couple of, I guess we'd say negative effects. I'd say adverse effects, because there are ways of combating these effects, all right? The first one is there is a risk of a nutritional deficiency, such as fiber, iron, calcium, B12, folate, vitamins A, D, E, and K. The reason for this, though, is not because gluten-free foods don't have these vitamins and minerals. The biggest reason for that is that people seem to choose more processed foods over nutritious foods. So when they're on a gluten-free diet, they'll just go for what's labeled as gluten-free versus just going to get fruits and vegetables that don't necessarily have a label but are gluten-free. Okay, like vitamin A is an example. You can get from leafy greens, tomatoes, red bell peppers, mango, fish oils, milk, eggs. And then vitamin D, just get it from the sun. You really don't need to eat food. You stand outside for 20, 30 minutes, absorb some sun, you got your vitamin D. All right, don't stand out there for 3 hours with no shirt on and fall asleep. Of course, you'll get burnt. But 20 to 30 minutes of reasonable amount of sunlight, you'll be fine. All right. Second one you'll probably experience is constipation. And the reason for that is because when you get into a gluten-free diet, you're eliminating a lot of the popular sources of fiber that your body's used to having, like bread, bran, right, like your oats and things like that, other wheat-based products. So once we remove it, it becomes a little difficult for our bodies to do its necessary process. All right, so if you are starting a gluten-free diet and you do experience some constipation, then eat whole fiber-rich foods. Broccoli, beans, Brussels sprouts, berries, avocados. Those will help relieve some of that constipation and keep you regular. The third one is cost. Okay, I know a lot of times it can be difficult on a tight budget to make big changes to a diet. and especially when it comes to gluten, that's because manufacturers have to spend more money on making the product and also on testing to make sure that it's not contaminated with anything. All right, that goes to show you that you probably shouldn't be eating foods from a factory because it just takes way too long. It's gotten far from its original source and all the nutrients are gone and they have to test it more. Like, that just seems like an unnecessary process for you. All right, so again, stick with whole foods. They're more nutritious, they cost less, they're just way better for you. Okay, and when we switch into these diets, gluten-free, paleo, vegan, keto, whatever it may be, it changes a lot of our social dynamic as well, right? It becomes difficult for us to go out to restaurants. A lot of restaurants have gluten-free options, but you also run the risk of the food still being contaminated by maybe using the same utensils or using the same bowl or just getting mixed up, right? So you run that risk, and if you are affected by gluten in a negative way, then you may not want to run that risk. All right, so you may have to call ahead and ensure that they have gluten-free options. You may have to take your own food or eat a salad and drink water, right? We've all been there before, and that's okay. And if you're going to a party or a friend's house, it's a lot easier to take your own food or a lot easier to let them know, and maybe they can have those options for you as well. All right, but if you're willing to make the sacrifices for a gluten-free diet, then you can make it work. It just takes preparation, it takes education, it takes really sitting and subtracting foods that you're not supposed to eat and then adding foods that you know you can tolerate. So look, most of us can easily consume gluten without any of the negative side effects I talked about, but if you notice on a regular basis any of these symptoms after consuming gluten products, then maybe it's time to consider removing it from your diet or minimizing it as much as possible. All right, Audrey and I are actually doing that right now, for this month at least, and hopefully going past this month, depending on how our bodies react, depending on how we feel, on how long we can sustain it, of course. It all comes down to sustainability and making sure that we can incorporate it into our lives without making our lives a living hell, right? And that comes from just education lately, I guess. You know, I've been doing a lot of reading lately on nutrition, and I've been discovering a lot of research that goes against the conventional wisdom that most of us have been taught our entire lives when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to food, when it comes to our health. And so I feel it's best that if I read these things and I learn them and I feel a certain conviction towards them, then I'm gonna want to relay that information to you, my listeners, to my followers, to my clients, to my friends, to my family, as best as possible. And the only way for me to do that in a pure way is to experience it myself. So I will be removing bread and pasta. We're gonna be limiting our rice intake as well. So we'll be sticking to quinoa the most, or if we are having rice, we can only consume it cooked and cooled. It actually has better health benefits that way when it's consumed cold. If you're interested in knowing why, send me a message and I will tell you why. It's actually pretty cool. But anyways, if you're interested in changing your diet or making changes, please always do your research, and always do what's best for you, right? Don't do what you think you need to do. Do what works for you, and a lot of times it'll be trial and error in order for you to find out what actually works. Okay? I hope today was informative. I hope it helps guide you on your nutritional journey and helps you make an informed decision. So, yeah, thanks for listening. I truly do appreciate it, and I will talk to you next time. But just remember, have a great week, love yourself, and go be the best version of yourself. Bye.